Hello and welcome to the Health Innovation East Midlands podcast. I'm Nicole McGlennon, Chief Executive of Health Innovation East Midlands, and I'm joined today by our independent chair, Professor Philip Baker.
Really good afternoon, Nicole.
Good to have you here, Phil, with us today. For those that maybe are not overly familiar with Health Innovation East Midlands, we are one of 15 health innovation organisations operating as a network across England. And we are commissioned to accelerate adoption and innovation, support scaling and deliver programmes of improvement to improve lives and strengthen the NHS, and also, and very importantly, to contribute towards economic growth. So today, Phil, we are going to touch on the impact report that Health Innovation East Midlands has just published. And I'd like to chat to you about some of your insights from that report and explore what the report offers the NHS and care providers. And I think really importantly, some insights into where we see the benefits of working with the Health Innovation Network, but also ourselves locally within East Midlands.
So, I mean, many thanks, Nicole. It's an honour to be the independent chair of Health Innovation East Midlands, because it's an awesome organisation, but it's particularly so at the time of the publication of our impact report. And it's a report that really highlights the difference that health innovation can make. I'm a clinician by background, as you know, and I see the NHS, I see an enormous need for innovation to enhance patient benefit, to enhance efficiencies, to enhance the lives of those working in our awesome NHS. So for me, some of the key impacts in this report are that nearly 120,000 patients were positively impacted, and that Health Innovation East Midlands, with a very modest £5 to £6 million funding, delivered nearly £80 million of value. It saved nearly 30,000 clinical appointments and over 70,000 hours of clinical release. I mean, these are figures that emphasise a significant improvement in the capacity for our NHS, the efficiency and the care for our patients. So it suggests that working with partners, we're really making a difference. And I think that's really exciting. From you highlighted the importance of economic and innovation impact. And, you know, we supported over 500 companies to scale their health innovations. We secured across the national network $1.5 billion of investment. We safeguarded nearly 1,000 jobs, created 500 more, and made over 3,000 technologies accessible to the NHS. So this is doing what it says on the tin. It's using innovation to make a strong contribution to the life sciences economy alongside improving healthcare. And Nicole, as the chief executive of the organisation, you must be really proud as far as that difference is concerned.
Well, thank you, Phil. Yes, I am very proud, as you well know, for our organisation and what we have achieved. And you've highlighted some of those key numbers. But I think it's how we go about delivering those numbers is really, really important. Working with our systems, hand in glove, both within the ICB and in the provider trusts as well. So if I take for an example, you also mentioned economic growth and how that is interlinked with the NHS and health and wealth. So listening to some of the feedback from our stakeholders locally, we developed the Grow Digital Health Platform with our colleagues in the West Midlands Health Innovation Network to develop a new way of working to support innovators within digital technologies come into the Midlands. So it's a very ambitious programme building on the East Midlands Accelerator programme that was launched in 2018. But this current programme is about developing and supporting tech companies to really develop their technologies to scale and get adopted across the NHS. You can see in our impact report some great case studies from innovators that we helped through that programme during the last 12 months. And not just have they not just Phil, have they scaled locally within our East Midlands systems, but they're also scaled nationally as well. And I think, as you've touched on, that's the benefit of being part of a network. So, you know, it is great to see that we have got organisations coming in wanting to work with ourselves locally, especially these cutting edge technologies. And where we add value is working with our systems, brokering the connections to support the evaluation of these innovations into local systems, having them evaluate it through potentially some of the services that we offer, and then business case has been drafted and approved at local system level, and then into the adoption and scaling process that we support via putting boots on the ground where that is required.
I think that's a really, really good example, Nicole. And it might be nice to go through all of the three shifts. I mean, arguably, the digital transformation from analog to digital is where we're going to see some of the strongest, most durable innovation across healthcare. And I think we're both aware of the impact that AI is having in almost every aspect of our life, and the deployment of AI and digital tools in clinical workflows, I don't know, documentation, triage, diagnostics. In one of my other roles, I oversee a medical school, and AI is going to have an enormous effect on the working lives of future medical practitioners. A lot of diagnosis is pattern recognition, and the opportunity for AI to assist doctors in their roles is going to be really important. Programs supporting that scaling of digital health companies into the NHS and showing that we can reduce the administrative burden for clinicians, automate triage and care pathways, and improve diagnostic capability are going to be really important and lead to productivity gains and modernization of care delivery. And you know, the program you highlighted is, I know, one of many that HEME are enabling.
That's right, Phil. And within our impact report, there's some great case studies there supporting 8 technologies during the last 12 months. But just to highlight, within the cohort this year, the 26-27 cohort for Grow Digital Midlands, we are taking on 9 technologies. And again, many of them are flourishing already, scaling in the East Midlands and indeed beyond. So, as you said, AVT is a great example of where locally we are supporting our systems, put plans in place, and also helping them procure and select the right technology for their needs.
I mean, if we think of the second shift, which is around prevention and population health, as we shift from sickness to prevention, I think, again, some really good examples in the impact report of how Health Innovation East Midlands has really made a difference. It's quite salutary today to be chatting on the day that the maternity report into the endeavours at Nottingham University Hospital has been released, and the challenges that we are all going to face consequent upon those upon that report. But if I pick major maternity and neonatal programs as an example, HEME has impacted lives in this area with over 100 lives saved since 2020 and reduced risk of cerebral palsy and serious neonatal complications. And, you know, as we're going to be rolling out Martha's Rule to maternity and neonatal care, I think there's going to be a really important role for HEME in this field, and I don't know if you want to expand on that, Nicole.
Yeah, I think thank you for that, Phil. There's a quite a big section in our impact report on that, as you've just highlighted, and this is part of our Patient Safety National Commission that we have been fulfilling for a number of years, very successfully working with 100% of our providers across the East Midlands. And you've mentioned a number of programmes within the improvement area that we work within. So we do support systems with Martha's Rule, and again, that may well be expanding, listening to some of the headlines today. We also have programmes running across maternity and neonatal optimisation around the preterm infant as well. So again, that is a very strong programme for us. So for example, some of the stats in there, Phil, as you will well know, in the East Midlands, we now have 65% of babies receiving elements of the preterm perinatal optimisation care pathway, and this does exceed the national average now of at 63%. I do know that when we started supporting our systems locally on this some time ago, the East Midlands actually was nowhere near the national average. So again, I think one of the key things that we have to offer with Health Innovation East Midlands is we can bring people together, we can understand the needs, and we can support system colleagues to give the very best care that we know that they want to give. So that's just one simple example, I think, of the benefit that we can bring on these types of programmes.
Yeah, and I think naturally we focused on maternity today as all of the families and indeed the staff affected by the Nottingham inquiry are very high in our thoughts and accrue our very deepest sympathies. But the impact of health innovation is not solely around maternity and in neonatal complications, indeed far from it. And you know, I really like the community health checks that organisation has promoted, that I know have screened thousands of people and identified hundreds with high blood pressure, which leads to earlier intervention, improved outcomes and reduced long-term costs.
Absolutely, and this is a great example of collaboration with Nottingham City, with Nottingham, Derbyshire and Lincolnshire ICB to set up a test clinic essentially in a large shopping centre in Nottingham in the Victoria Centre, where we work with one of our innovators called Sisu to deploy one of their technologies where you can come along, have your blood pressure checked, there's other key health checks within that technology, and it gives advice on what you need to be doing. And I know there's been several thousand patients identified to require further blood pressure optimisation and potentially being referred on to a primary care clinician for further follow-up. So this is, again, this is, I think, hoping to roll that up further across the ICB in Nottinghamshire. They're delighted with the public response to it, which is really important. But again, it's trying to do things differently because not everyone wants to go to a healthcare setting to have some of their health checks. And also not just is it the being able to do it potentially in your own time over a weekend when you're shopping, but also it takes potentially for some patients the fear factor out of going into a healthcare setting as well. So that's just another great example of how we're trying to do things differently with our systems locally.
And it's a really nice lead into the third shift, which is the shift to community care, to shift care away from hospitals to communities, care that's closer to home, that reduces the demands on hospitals and that leads to better long term management. And I think my favourite exemplar of this is the kidney disease programme, which is leading to improved early diagnosis and management. It's really strengthening that collaboration between primary and secondary care, and it's reducing unnecessary referrals. And I'm sure you'll be delighted to expand on that one, Nicole, because I know it's a particular program that you advocate.
Well, I'm delighted you've mentioned that, Phil, because within East Midlands, we have worked with this programme now for some time. It's called the Lucid programme, as you well know, but maybe our listeners don't know, but that stands for the Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland Chronic Kidney Disease programme. And that was developed. This is a great example of how we work. So this programme was developed with local clinicians within the Leicester system. And it is a programme whereby there's the integration of chronic kidney disease management, bringing together primary and secondary care to focus on the core principles of how to manage chronic kidney disease outside of a secondary care setting. So it is very much about the systems working collectively together under what's called our multidisciplinary teams to case find patients and to risk stratify them, to support clinicians, identify them and develop education tools for both the patient and the clinician regarding the management of patients that are, I guess, identified very early on in the progression of chronic kidney disease, ideally at a level within the GP practice before they are poorly and having to come into secondary care. So it is all about looking at the patient slightly differently before they come into secondary care. So we're delighted, Phil, to be working with the Lucid team. We did an evaluation in 2024 with the clinical team, and that is where this golden nugget came from. And again, where we as a Health Innovation Network take something that's been developed locally, we build it and we spread it regionally, build up the evidence base, and then we're absolutely delighted that our colleagues in the 14 other Health Innovation Network organisations will take it forward with us and roll this combined kidney CKD programme out at national level under the HIN network, supported by a steering group which includes colleagues and clinicians from the Leicester system where this was developed.
I think that's a really nice example of where one of our successful programs has been scaled up nationally, where we can accelerate the adoption of innovations that are proven, where we can accelerate that across the different regions. And I know the ADHD program is another really good example of how something that we've shown works gets nationally scaled. And I think we should be proud of the fact that, you know, over 70 innovations have been introduced to health systems via exchange events, and we're getting thousands of people attending our learning events, really acting as a sort of catalyst for innovation regionally and nationally, because together the network has the power to sort of optimize that difference, to ensure that the impact is happening to a much greater extent.
I think that's it, Phil, and as we well know, we're all going through significant changes in the NHS. So as from the East Midlands point of view, we had 5 ICSs. We are now down to 2 cluster ICBs. And, you know, looking to 26, 27 from a Health Innovation East Midlands perspective, you know, we are really looking to harness our working with both of our cluster ICBs and of course, our providers within our area to strategically position innovation within their transformation programme. So they're completely focused on population health and improving that. And that's where we are working alongside them to support them on big transformation programmes. We've talked about briefly about CKD, but we're also heavily working on respiratory disease as well with our systems. We are working in the broader cardiovascular area with programmes coming in diabetes and weight management. And you've also touched on the programme that we are working on within ADHD as well, with a smaller cohort of HIN colleagues nationally as well. But I think really, I think that the step change for us going forward this year will be to work in a really rigorous and robust way to prove the value of innovation within transformation, and to make sure that actually it is well tested, it's well evaluated, and the business case is strong, so we can work with our systems to really accelerate the changes that I know they want to be doing and they have to be doing, but also to make sure that we are all delivering to the 10-year plan.
And Nicole, I really liked the way that the impact report highlighted the other key engagement element of the work of Health Innovation East Midlands, and that in addition to working with over 200 partners and innovators, it's engaged with hundreds of patients to focus on reducing inequalities of healthcare and co-designing services to ensure that our innovation is inclusive and patient-centred.
That's right, Phil. We have a really strong team and foundation working across our communities on patient public involvement and also on EDI principles as well. All of our programmes involve working with patients, lived experience, incorporating their feedback, their thoughts, their direction of travel into all of our programmes. We'll never be there all of the time, but we do endeavour to make sure we are as inclusive as we possibly can. And each of our programmes has a number of PPI and EDI panels that we can refer to. So we are absolutely grounded in working with our local populations.
So I'll absolutely give you the final line, Nicole. But for me, the bottom line is that the report demonstrates that Health Innovation East Midlands delivers impact across the three core dimensions. Firstly, clinical impact, better outcomes, safer care, lives saved. Organisational impact, increasing the capacity of our challenged NHS and the productivity of the NHS. And then economic impact, creating major investment, creating jobs and growing industry. So in essence, for me, HEAM is acting as a system connector and accelerator, turning innovation into real measurable improvements in care and efficiency at a scale that makes a difference.
Phil, I don't think I can add to that at all. So thank you very much. I would encourage people to look at the impact report, read it, stretch us to do better next year. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, everybody.